in our niches and allowed us this privilege of being participatory in this space, in this period. And we say thank you. For Lord, if it had not been for you on our side, we don't know where we'd be. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonder you are. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Your healer, your doctor, your friend. You're our Savior. We thank you. Again, as always, Lord, you are the shepherd of people everywhere. Guide me as I lead the flock that you have placed within my care. Protect my mind as I study to preach and pray. And as always, we pray that you counsel out every stratagem and wicked device of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word from going forth and your work from being accomplished in the land. We are leaning and depending on you. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Give me that anointing. And as I decrease, you increase. Less of me, more of you. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Lord, we pray that you preach through these fickle lips of clay. And as the rain descends and the fall and the snow comes from heaven, so shall your word come forth. It will go out, give seed to the sower, food to the eater. And it will accomplish all that you sent it out to accomplish. So, Father, have your way with those of us who are here and those who are viewing virtually. Get in their houses and homes with them as they're sitting and listening to your word. Give them oneness with you. Speak, Lord. We will hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Certainly, we thank God for this day. God has blessed us already immeasurably. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. He has looked beyond my faults and bless me according to my needs. And certainly not that I deserve it, but God and God alone deemed it necessary that I be here today. And you too. So we deserve him. He deserves all the praise, honor, and glory. And certainly we should give it to him. Thank God for what has already transpired. Our hearts have been devoted through the devotional period, singing and praying and reading of scripture. And we have been led in responsive reading and prayed for. And then the choir has sang so melodiously and blessed us in song. We thank God for their angelic voices. And we thank you for your prayers. We can feel your prayers here with us. Amen. I feel good. I feel happy in my spirit. Listen, I know Satan can't win, and no weapon formed against us is able to prosper. Now, the Bible didn't say it wouldn't form, but the good news is it cannot prosper. Amen. We are on a winning team. That Jesus has won the victory already. So we are not working towards victory and working for victory. We're working from that he has already won the battle on Calvary. Praise his name. Amen. I'm glad about that. That we already are victorious. Amen. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. As we continue our series of preaching entitled Vision 2020. And I would that we see Jesus clearer. Because if we are going to be witnesses, we have to see him as God presents him in Scripture. And once we see him, we can become acquainted with him. We can come to know him. And it's very important for us to know him, because you can't talk about who you don't know. Amen. That the world want us to hush, but the reason I can't hush is because I know too much about him. Amen. He done brought me through too much. And when I read the word of God, I see him. God uncovers him and reveals him to me, and I like what I see. I love what I see. I love Jesus. Dr. Walker said he's a Jesus freak. I'm Jesus freak too. Amen. I'm number two, because I know that if it had not been for the Lord Jesus on my side, I don't know where I'd be. But John chapter 11, John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, being Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he closes with a question. Believe thou this. I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. Amen. Jesus, dot, 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 the resurrection and life. Jesus, the resurrection. Jesus, by way of ministry and miracles, revealed his person. He revealed that he is the great I am. I am is the personal name of God, as we are told in Exodus chapter 3. For if you heard me preach last week, you remember that Moses had a conversation with God through a burning bush. And he was concerned about who he was to tell the people sent him. God says there are a whole lot of things you can tell them, but just make it simple. Tell them, I am that I am sent you. I am that I am is short but not shallow. Because God in his infinite being thought it necessary to simplify Moses' conversation with the people by just simply saying, I am that I am sent you. Here it is, centuries later. Jesus comes on the scene as the expressed image of God. He is the Emmanuel that Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet, talked about. And Matthew, the gospel writer in Matthew chapter 1, talks about. He is Emmanuel, being that he is God with us. Jesus, in saying that he is the I am, reveals his deity. He reveals that he is God. And besides him, there is none other. That he is not an idol God. He's not a false God. He's not a finite and fickle God. But he is God. 7 times in John's gospel, Jesus reveals himself as the great I am. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, Jesus says, I am the door to the sheep. John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I am the resurrection and life. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the true vine. He reveals himself as the great I am. I like what he said here, because he says, I am the resurrection. And as the resurrection, he declares his power over death. For you who are Bible readers, have watched Jesus through your sanctified imaginations, that he performed miracles to reveal his power over certain parts of human life. That he has power not only over the stormy sea, but he has power over demons. He has power over death. He has power to provide for us. He reveals himself as God. He says that he has power over death. Lazarus of Bethany fell sick, and his sisters Martha and Mary sent a messenger to Jesus to inform Jesus of Lazarus' sickness. Jesus never have to get in a hurry. Because I hear the words of the old church. He's a God that you can't hurry. But don't you worry. He may not come when you want him. But he's always on time. Somebody, he ought to be a witness. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He got the word from the messenger, but Jesus remained on his route in ministry. His reply was, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. It was either before the messenger made it or shortly after the messenger made it that Lazarus died. And there the family of Lazarus was mourning his loss. The text says 4 days later. 4 days of mourning had passed, and at last Jesus shows up near Bethany. And when Jesus neared the town of Bethany, Martha and Mary were surrounded by Jewish mourners, mourning with them to give them condolences and provide comfort for their loss. The mourning period, according to Judaism, is called Shiva. Shiva means 7. They were to mourn. The community was to come and mourn with the family for 7 days to help them bear the grief, to console and comfort them in their time of loss. 4 days into the 7 days, Jesus nears Bethany. And they get word that Jesus is near Bethany while surrounded by the Jewish community. Jesus eases his way to the home of Mary and Martha. Let me pause before I get too far into the home place of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Because they are surrounded by Jewish mourners. And those of you who have read John's Gospel understand that this is the period of opposition. That Jesus' enemies are surrounding Mary and Martha, consoling Mary and Martha, his enemies, Jewish leaders, people who were heavy in their religious belief and practices of Judaism, which seemingly was a great contradiction of Jesus' teachings, surrounded by his enemies. But yet Jesus eases his way toward Mary and Martha, and through the midst of the condolences, comforts, and all of the commotion, they get word that Jesus is near Bethany. Martha, she breaks the fellowship and heads to where Jesus was. And she said to him, If you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said unto Martha, your brother shall rise again. Oh, that's good news. It feels good to my spirit. He says, he shall get up. He's not going to stay asleep. Martha chimes in again. She says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said to Martha, what you fail to realize is you looking at the resurrection. And I'm not governed by time nor by space. I can get him up right now. Oh, that's good news. Jesus don't have to wait for a certain time. because he's God. He's not governed by time. He doesn't have to wait until space is made for him. Jesus can break through any space and he can operate at any time. You're looking at the resurrection. You're looking right at him. I'm going to get him up. I'm going to raise him from the dead. I am the resurrection. The word resurrection means to rise, to stand on the feet again, as opposed to failing. Oh, it means a rising of the body from the dead. Let me say that again. It means to rise, to stand on the feet again, as opposed to failing. And it means to rise or to raise the body from the grave. Jesus says, I am the resurrection in every sense of the word. In other words, I'm the one who will cause him to rise and stand again. I'm the one who will bring his dead, lifeless body back to life again. Jude is tiptoeing into the premise of this particular preaching assignment. Jude 24. He said, now unto him who's able to keep you from falling, stumbling. He's able to keep us standing on our feet. Jesus is the resurrection in every sense of the word. Jude was talking about Jesus. He is able to keep us from falling. Well, that's good news, because there are a whole lot of people who want us to fail and fall. There are a whole lot of people who want us to stumble in our faith, especially when hard times come. I can imagine the world just sitting back watching the church, trying to see what the church is going to do now. But I'm here to tell you, church, that we are not failing. We are not failing in our faith. We are standing on our feet. And the church house may be closed, but the church is never closed, because the church is not made out of brick and mortar. The church is the body of Christ. And he says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates cannot prevail against it. He keeps us from stumbling and falling. Jesus not only keeps us from stumbling and falling, but in that great day, he'll get us up. He says, I am the resurrection. I like that. He says, I am the resurrection. Conversation ends with Martha, and obviously she scurries back to her home with the words of Jesus, and Mary's turn now, and she goes out to meet Jesus, and she's weeping and wailing. Her emotions get the best of her, and Jesus now is at the home of Martha and Mary, and he sees the mourners. And you know that verse we love to quote, you know, because when I came up, you know, you had to quote a verse before you could eat. And the shortest verse see, y'all did the same thing too. Jesus wept. And you know, he wept not that he was in some situation that he couldn't figure out, but he wept because Isaiah said that he's acquainted with our griefs. He's a man of sorrow. When we weep, he weeps. We touch him with our sorrow. He knows how to identify with us when we are hurting. He began to weep. Jesus wept. He says, show me where you laid him. Enough prolonging the miracle. Show me where you laid him. Enough of the small talk. Actions speaks louder than words. Show me where you laid him. Aren't you glad Jesus is not just all mouth? He's not just all word. You know, like some of us, we talk a good game. You know, we can really sell it. We'll tell you what we're going to do. No, we don't have any intentions of doing it. And you know, you really find out what we are about when we get in a jam or in a tough place. Jesus says, show me where you laid him. Went to the grave of Lazarus. And Jesus, number one, commands that the stone be removed. Get the stone out of my way. Get the rock out of my way. You know, God, he tells us to get the stones out of his way. He doesn't deal with stony hearts. You know, get the hard stuff out my way. Get the stone. Now, notice the description of the grave. The grave was a carved out rock on the side of a hill or mountain, carved out, and they would carve a groove right at the mouth of the grave to roll the stone into the groove, sort of to lock it in place. And then they would seal the stone with ropes and slime. It was sealed in place. And Jesus said after 4 days, and Lazarus had been in the grave, remove the stone. Now, in his command, you got to understand that man has a part to play. That we see the duty of man. Jesus commanded the removal of the stone, and it suggests that where human power is sufficient, divine power will not be put forth. In other words, faith is not God doing it all. Faith requires action on your part. There has to be a connection with the words you hear from God and actions you do. He says, remove the stone. I like that. Because a word from the Lord could have moved the stone. We're talking about God. I mean, think about when Jesus was on his way into Jerusalem. And the people were, the religious leaders especially, were angry because the people were worshiping. Jesus said, well, if you don't cry out, I can use inanimate objects like rocks to cry out in your place. So he could have easily spoke to the rock, and the rock was removed. Are y'all in here with me? Think about it in scripture. Jesus spoke a word and calmed a raging sea. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. At Jesus' word, a centurion soldier, a servant, was healed. Matthew 8, 5 through 13. Jesus, at his word, cast demons out of a demoniac, and they went into a herd of swines, and they ran violently down the hill and drowned the swine. He could have employed his word. But instead, he says, you that are standing around, remove the stone. If you want to see something, it requires you doing something. That's right. See, folks want a miracle.
That's right.
But they don't want to do nothing.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Want a job?
Still
sitting on your couch like the job is going to come across the screen and say, come and get me.
Amen. Amen.
Got to do something.
That's right.
Jesus says, you got to do something.
Amen.
Get the stone out the way. He did not employ his word to remove the stone. He employed the effort of the men to remove the stone from the entrance of the grave. Oh, it was a command given to convince the spectators that Lazarus was indeed a dead man.
That's right. That's right.
He's in there. He's dead. If he wasn't dead when you said he was dead, he's dead now.
That's right.
Because he's been in there 4 days.
That's right.
And to show you that I'm not going to perform any hocus pocus before I call him out, you get the stone out the way.
That's right.
You remove the stone. It was to convince the spectators that Lazarus was dead. It was hot climate. And you know, no body within a grave with no air, no fresh oxygen can live for 4 days. But you get the stone out the way. They started conversing about the stench. He's dead, Jesus. I saw him dead. And by now, with all of this heat and with the closed grave, if we open the grave, the stench in the grave is coming out. Jesus says, get the stone out the way. Just don't try to submit this to reasoning. You know, don't make this an opinionated meeting. You done insulted me already.
That's right.
You say I'm 4 days late. You just get the stone out the way. And I like it because when they removed the stone, Jesus called the dead by name. Verse 43 says, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, he didn't calmly call him by name, Lazarus, come forth. He cried aloud, Lazarus, come forth. For it was a piercing cry. He cried with a loud voice. And according to Matthew's hearing, Jesus could have raised Lazarus with a silent exertion of his power and will. But instead he called on with the loud voice. The loud voice signifies the greatness of his work and the power of his word. Jesus did not call Lazarus out of the grave. Just out of the grave. He called his soul from Hades. The world, the spirits. Oh, he called him. He called him. He called him Lazarus. Lazarus, Lazarus, Lazarus. Lazarus. You know, the old preachers would say that he didn't just call dead get up. Because there were too many dead people in the cemetery. If he would have just said, get up, everybody would have got up. It wasn't time for everybody to get up. It was time for Lazarus. I wish I had a witness. It was time for Lazarus to get up. He called him by name. And you know what Paul said to the church of Thessalonians, to the church of Thessalonica. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. When Jesus comes down, and when he came down the first time, he didn't say it silently, and he won't say it silently. He's going to say it with some amplification behind his voice. Get up!
That's right.
He called Lazarus by name. He shouted at him. Got his attention. In the world of spirits, spirit got back in his body. His body got up off the cold, dusty rock that it was lying on. And Lazarus came out. Notice Lazarus was dead. Oh, I thank God that Jesus is still able to call us by name. And when he called our name every morning, Rogers, Walker McCoy, Pope, Wells, he said, get up. We'd be in a state so close to death, unaware of the world around us. But early in the morning, eyes come on to see a new day. He's still getting us up. Aren't you glad about that? That he is still the resurrection and the life. When he called Lazarus by name, the Bible says that Lazarus came forth. But he was attired and he had on grave clothes. And I thank God for the second command of Jesus. He commanded the men to remove the grave clothes. Ain't God all right? See, you don't need grave clothes if you are alive and well. He said, remove the grave clothes from Lazarus. He doesn't need anything associated with death and the grave, because he's not dead. He's alive, and he's alive and well. Put him on some living man clothes. Get rid of his mummy attire and give him back his robe. Give him back his ring and give him back his sandals, because he's on his way home. Thank God, all right. I thank God for Jesus, because I was on my way to hell dressed in grave clothes. But Jesus called me me by name. He said, Rogers, turn around and head in a different direction. I was walking with my eyes wide open, but I was still a dead man. I was living with a dead man's life. I had on dead man clothes because I used to go to dead places. But I thank God for Jesus. Before it was too late eternally, he picked me up, turned me around, and planted my feet on solid ground. I'm no longer on my way to a devil's hell, but I'm on my way to God's eternity. Somebody ought to thank God for Jesus, because he's still the resurrection and he is still life. Every draw of the breath I breathe, I give glory unto God, because if it had not been for the Lord who's on my side, I would have been dead and burning in hell. But Jesus, my kinsman redeemer, Jesus, my way out of no way, Jesus, my lily of the valley, Jesus, my bright and morning star, Jesus, my wheel in the middle of the wheel, Jesus, my Savior and my Lord. I told you there was a deacon in Mississippi when he would fall on his knees and called the name Jesus, he would say, Jesus, grandmama's walking cane, he's everything you need in life. And so he's a great I am. I am everything you need. One Friday, he had to show his power in his own death. One Friday, they marched him up the Via Dolorosa. They, after beating him all Thursday night, they marched him up the Via Dolorosa and they hung him on the cross. He died. He died. He died. Somebody know he died. But I thank God that death couldn't hold him and the grave couldn't keep him, because he stayed in the grave Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night. But somewhere between 12 and 6, Jesus got up from the grave with all power, heaven and earth in my hands. He says, if you think I did something when I got Lazarus up, he said, look at what you did to me. And I'm not just the resurrection of Lazarus, I'm my own resurrection. Yeah! 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 Jesus says, I can get you up. I got myself up. I'm God.
Yeah.
Sunday morning.
Yeah.
With all power. Heaven and earth. In my hands. He commanded the rolling away of the stone. He didn't employ his word where man's strength and energy can be employed. Faith without works dead. He says, y'all have already insulted me. You've already said that Lazarus is too late for him. You know, a lot of people will write you off and say that it's too late for you. But with Jesus, it's never too late. He's a God you can't hurry, but don't you worry. May not come when you want him, but he's always on time. That's why we shouldn't fret. Even in this season, we ought not fret. We ought not be afraid. One thing I know about God, he knows exactly how much we can take. And he knows when the right time. He will deliver us in his due time. But until then, keep the faith. Trust God. He'll bring us out. Keep praying. Keep sharing the word. Keep loving. Keep forgiving. Keep honoring Jesus. Keep worshiping him. He is the great I am. He commanded that the stone be removed, but then he called Lazarus by name. And Lazarus came from the grave after his soul had been called from Hades. He was dead. He wasn't unconscious, he was dead. And Jesus commanded the men to remove the dead man's clothes. That's a picture of humanity. The Bible says we were walking dead. Paul says he has called us from death. The word has quickened, made us alive. Peter said we were once dead because we lived in darkness, but he called us out of darkness into the marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises of him. Listen, the world is sitting back looking. What the church going to do now? We're going to do as we've always done. We're going to keep believing. Keep trusting. And he'll never bring us to and not see us through. That's my faith, that he'll never bring us to and not see us through. He's faithful. And he demonstrates his power. He demonstrated it in the word, and he demonstrates it in our lives daily. Trust him. Listen, before we close, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're listening to me by way of live streaming, Facebook, or whatever the media means may be, I do believe the word of God has reached you. Not coincidentally, but by divine providence. God wants you saved. He says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man would hear my voice and open, I will come unto him. He will sup with me and I sup with him. That invitation is extended now. Jesus says, come. Jesus says, open the door and I'll come in and I'll be one with you. I'll save your soul. I'll give you new meaning in life. I'll put you on a new path. A pathway that leads to eternal life. He says, I'll even put you in myself. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Please accept him today. Don't delay. Don't put off today for tomorrow. Trust him today. He says, if you can believe in your heart and confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. Believe and confess. If you have made Jesus your Lord, And if this broadcast has helped you and encouraged your heart, please write us here at New Bethlehem Baptist Church and inform us of your decision of making Jesus your Lord. We would love to connect with you. If you're in need of a church home, we're a wonderful body. We're a wonderful church. We are used of God greatly. And we want to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ through preaching and teaching, loving on you and sharing with you as the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded in his word. Secondly, if you are listening and you're backslidden, you're not as close to God as you used to be. I say to you that he has not left you, but you have walked away from him. But the great truth of the word of God is that he is married to you. He gives this illustration in the Old Testament, Hosea and Gomer. She was unfaithful to Hosea. He says, my people are unfaithful to me. He says, but just keep on buying her back to express my love for my people. Listen, we mess up often. But he just keeps taking us back. He just keeps taking us back. Receive his love. Receive his restoration. Receive the Lord refocusing you and re-energizing you. He will do it if you just pray and confess to him that you have messed up, but you want to be in relationship with him like you used to be. Listen, he will do it. Thirdly, if you're in need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, please write us and inform us of your decision as you have been led of the Holy Spirit to be a part of this body. We will receive you. When we come back together in person worship, we will introduce you to the whole family. The whole church. I'm looking forward to that glorious time when all God's children get together. Listen, be blessed. Be encouraged. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you again today for what you have preached and shared with us concerning your power and person, your God. And besides thee, there is none. Bless your people, Father. As they have heard your word, give them courage to share it. Watch over us as we go hither and thither. We just thank you for, Father, how you have spared us. How you have kept us safe. Kept us in good health and in our right mind. Unto you we give the glory. Now, Father, as we make ready to leave this place, whenever your divine presence, give us traveling grace and the love of Jesus Christ and sweet communion with the Holy Spirit. Father, until that day where there will be no need for the sun to shine, but Jesus Christ will be the light thereof. Where, Father, there's a tree for the healing of the nation and a river that's pure as crystal. To that great day where you call us from these mundane shores unto the pleasantry of your presence, watch over us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.